And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us for the very last time in 2018 on Mercenary Musings Radio is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, for this show, we are bringing down the curtain on what has been, in some regards, a rather crazy and rather unpredictable year in the markets. Currently, it's been a bloodbath for equities over the past few months. But let's kick it off with your view of how the year has played out in commodities, Mickey, and not entirely as you had planned it.
No, I actually predicted a bull market on commodities this year, and it's been anything but. The major U.S. stock markets roared through September with, records day after day after day, it seemed. Meanwhile, the all-world markets have been down most of the year. Chinese market down 30. The Toronto Stock Exchange down 14-15% for the year. So this correction we're undergoing right now with the U.S. markets, I think, was long overdue. We're just catching up with the rest of the world. What we've seen this week is the market, U.S. markets, go down on bad news. They go down on good news. It just becomes a liquidity event if something's positive. And that really has affected commodity markets. Other things that have affected the commodity markets this year, the Fed raised interest rates four times. That was probably not baked in. Probably the most important thing is the ongoing trade tariff war with China. We settled our differences to the United States' favor, I think, both with Canada and Mexico and Europe for the most part. But kind of the hanging chad, if you will, still is China. And, you know, that's become a strategic rivalry. It's become much more than just trade talks and tariffs on this and this, this and that. It's really a strategic call on whose modus operandi is going to continue to be of most influence in the world. Part of it too has been the U.S. is leading the way on this idea of economic nationalism and for once resource nationalism. You know, we've talked a lot in the past about companies and the dangers of resource nationalism, especially in the third world. And now the U.S. is kind of sticking out its chest and says, we're going to defend our own. So that the lot of things on the macro and the political environment, I think, have affected commodities this year.
Okay, well, let's start to run down some of those commodities and begin with the precious metals market. And I guess, Mickey, the way this year is ending, is it going to instill a little bit of upward movement in gold? Do you think that could last? Because, I mean, everybody's running scared of the equity market. And you would think this would play into gold a little bit, especially following that Fed meeting.
Well, I would think so too, Rob. I think you're point on right there. Gold is down for the year, but not that much now. It closed today at $1,255, so about a 3.5% loss on the year. Started at $1,302, but it wasn't more than 3 weeks ago, it was sitting not much above 1,200. So we've seen this rally of gold, and certainly safe haven and insurance policy sort of demand has been driving it. The couple of the other precious metals didn't fare nearly as well. Silver down over 14% over the year, as is platinum. Platinum's now sitting at a 10-year low since the heart of the global economic crisis in the late fall of 2008. currently trading at 792. The anomaly in all this has been palladium, which has been trading at an all-time high.
We touched upon that in our last show, Mickey, how palladium has really taken off and has surpassed platinum in price. And that alone is worth writing about, isn't it?
Well, it's worth talking about. I don't know if I'm going to write about it, but closed the day at 12:15. Now, it was off considerably this week, but that's still a 15% gain on the year. And, there's no doubt it's overbought and it's overvalued right now. So at some point it will correct.
Okay, before moving on to base metals, I wanted to just go back to gold a little bit, Mickey. You know, the price of gold has been a bit of a disappointment, but last time I checked, the gold index of the TSX was up, was showing a double-digit gain over a relatively short period of time. So gold stocks were certainly looking to end the year on a rise.
Well, and this is often what happens. The stocks will either lead the price or the price will lead the stocks. And it appears with your point that the gold stocks, now I don't know what these indices are up or down over the year. I would suspect they're still down
considerably.
But, right. But they're starting to move. So we see this pent up demand for not only gold, but there's a lot of money sitting on the table waiting for gold stocks to perform. You know, we've seen an increase in over the last two or three weeks, a significant increase in the financings in the junior and mid-tier space. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, and also with the normal seasonality of gold, I'm bullish on gold in the near term, and I think you probably are too.
Okay, another commodity that you are bullish on, even though it took a bit of a kick in the shins this year, a double-digit decline, and that is copper, because you wrote back in October, Mickey, that the bullish scenario exists for copper throughout the short, medium, and long term. So I'm going to assume that you're sticking with that forecast. The price this year, though, certainly did not act in your favor.
No, copper, if you remember last year, it closed at a near all-time high on the last trading day of the year. I think it hit the high of 329 the day before. But let's take the last trading day. So it went from $3.26 to $2.70, which is where it closed today, for a more than 8% loss on the year. The problem with the carbon market right now is directionless. All the speculative money has left the derivative markets. The hedge funds are out. They started last year extremely net long. They turned about mid-summer into massively net short. Mm-hmm. Now they're out of the game, completely out, despite strong fundamentals, not only in copper, but the entire base metal space, copper at 10-year low inventories. But here's the deal, and I'm going to give credit to Andy Holm at Reuters, who is arguably the most knowledgeable metals analyst that writes for a living. And Andy came out with a piece today and emphasized that the politicians and political talk have taken over these markets, and we've really seen this despite very strong fundamentals in the entire base metal complex. The politicians, the trade tariff talk has overwhelmed what is really strong fundamentals in these markets.
Yeah, and Mickey, we've seen some sharp movements basically right across the board for a lot of the base metals. Nickel was up 22% last year. It's given it all back and then some this year, hasn't it?
Well, nickel's down 11% over the year. Zinc has been the big loser, down 23%. Lead down 21% year to date. Most of those metals are at or a few pennies above their year lows. Here's another base metal, which is at its all year-to-date low, and that's aluminum, down 15%. and a half percent on the year, down to 87 cents. And once it's, again, it's all about this trade war and the trade tariffs. And it, you know, the market that has been most upset by all this has been the aluminum market. It's completely thrown the supply chain fundamentals upside down. But what it has done is it's helped control Chinese overproduction and market control. Mm-hmm. So there's some good out of coming out of all this. And maybe it's as simple as short-term pain for long-term gain for this entire base metal.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I think probably the wackiest chart of them all would be aluminum. If you didn't know anything about the story behind aluminum, you looked at the way those movements came. I mean, they were sharp. You know, the price is falling right off the cliff. You had to really, peel back the cover, and it was politics, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and it went up because of politics. You know, aluminum had, if memory serves, a 7-year high in the spring. Yep. So, you know, it has discombobulated, especially the aluminum supply chain, and inventories are not readily available. Aluminum has many facets. It's got bauxite, it's got aluminum, it's got alumina, and it does not have a liquid derivative market, so it's all kind of added up and added on with aluminum. But once again, you know, the Chinese had taken over that market, and they have overproduced. And so if we, you know, if there's any silver lining in all these gray clouds right now, we hopefully will come out of this. And I'm convinced this is going to be settled, because the Chinese need the U.S. The U.S. needs the Chinese. But I'll guarantee you, Rob, the Chinese need us a lot more than we need them, because they are the ones that have the most to lose in the commodities markets.
Yeah, and there are signs now, Mickey, that their economy is noticeably slowing down a bit in terms of growth. Yeah.
Well, it is, Rob. And, you know, I neglected to or ran out of time today and did not have time to see what the year-to-date return is on the Shanghai Exchange. But the last I saw, it was down 30% on the year, and that was probably sometime a month or 6 weeks ago. But, you know, it's wrecking havoc with the Chinese economy now, this stuff. So they're coming around. You see it gradually, and everybody has to save face. It's not going to happen soon, but I am absolutely convinced this is going to be settled. And perhaps I'm an eternal optimist about some of this stuff, but I'm convinced it's going to resolve itself in the United States' favor and North America's favor.
Well, you want to talk about a commodity that's wreaking havoc? Take a look at crude oil and what it's done to the Canadian equity market, Mickey. That is the big reason, really, why the TSX is looking at a huge loss for the year. WTI oil, I think, down over 20% on the year. Western Canadian Select, you look at the price differential there. Holy smokes. And we can't get our oil out of Canada because of no pipelines.
Well, and that's a policy and economic issue for you that needs to be solved. But Canada's a mess. The oil patch here is devastated. And like you say, it's the main reason the Toronto Stock Exchange is down 14% on the year. You know, year-to-date WTI is not down that much. It's down 7.5% year to date. But if you take the high back of $75, which was, if memory serves, in August, that's probably the number you're floating out there. Oil traded today at 45.35, closed at that point, and that's 17-month low. And that's not going to last either. But and once again, it's really hurting Canada. But I think that's policy decisions on behalf of your government and the provincial government, specifically BC, killing a Trans Mountain pipeline. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, a weak oil price like this, and it goes all the way to Brent, too, and the Brent to WTI arbitrage has narrowed over the last couple of weeks. But who it really hurts is OPEC and the Middle East, because they need, some countries need $100 a barrel to break even with their balance of payments. The Saudis need $80 a barrel. So this can't last very long. And OPEC has come up and said 1.5 million barrels per day cut. And they're so anxious to make this work and get the oil price up, they're now going to post what each country's going to cut. And that's unusual. On the other side, U.S. shale oil, it will slow down, but the netbacks are going to be about even all in all at $45 a barrel. And so we saw rigs in the U.S., for instance, went up 9 this week while the oil price is crashing. So once again, it is hurting other countries a lot more than it's going to hurt the U.S. And, you know, Trump is on this nationalistic bent right now. And you know, and I have to say, I do not disagree with what he's doing. We hope and we trust that it will turn around in the short term.
You mentioned OPEC and the production cut. Of course, the production cut does not take place until January. But what was... interesting to see was that when the announcement was made, and there was a lot of speculation that the cuts would be agreed to, it hasn't done anything for the price of oil, right? I mean, people are kind of looking past that, and you would have thought it might have given it a little bit of an upward lift that would stick, but...
Yeah, I just think it's just a sell mentality right now, Rob. Everybody's trying to get off, you know. I think from the markets to everything we're talking about, it's people are looking for a way out. They're looking for a way to go to cash. They're looking for a way to go to gold, and we've seen that reflected in the gold price. And until that attitude changes, and it will change, you know, I don't expect the U.S. markets to have another week like they've had right now, because you're looking at very strong earnings. You're looking at 3.5% GDP. You're looking at record low unemployment. So there's all these stock market fundamentals that would argue you shouldn't be selling right now. You should be buying, but maybe you're buying a falling knife at this point. You need to watch it play out. You know, I've been buying the Toronto Venture Exchange stocks like crazy this week because it's tax loss season. That index is down 38% year to date. And all it's providing for me is buying opportunities over the last week. So you have to be a contrarian. You have to buck the trends, especially when there's fear and panic in the markets. And that's what it looks like it is to me right now. Very volatile. You know, the VIX today closed above 30. We haven't seen that for quite some time. But, geez, let's embrace volatility and be contrarians and make this market work.
Well, you have
to
think, Mickey, the way the share prices have collapsed, and you know, the PE ratios and everything else have reined in, that one would look back at this particular time 3-4 years from now and might say to yourself, geez, I should have been buying a little bit more than I was, maybe. I don't know, but it does to me look like a buying opportunity, depending on your time horizon, I guess.
Well, I think so. And, you know, I'm going to mention, because I have been buying specific stocks at fire sale prices, good stocks on the Toronto Venture Exchange. But, Rob, I tell you, some of those, I'm buying them for a flip. Some of them I'm adding to longer-term core positions or establishing core positions. But a couple of these stocks, I'm buying them this week, and I intend to flip them at the end of the first week of January and take significant profits. And, you know, we've studied the seasonality of the Toronto Venture Exchange long enough to know this works most years. So, So no matter what your horizon is, I think this is a buying opportunity.
Well, a lot of people, Mickey, have been buying at the open and then selling 10 minutes before the closing bell, the way the markets have been moving.
Let's end on a positive note, Rob. We've talked about all this doom and gloom in the markets and commodities. The one commodity that overperformed this year, and we've been saying this is going to happen for quite some time, bucking the trend, was uranium. Up almost 17% over the year, stabilized at somewhere between $28.50 and $29. So finally, we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel for uranium space. It still has a long way to go, but it is coming on. And you know, I'll say right now I'm bullish on three commodities this year, and this assumes that Trump's tariff and Chinese problems get solved. But gold, copper, and uranium are my picks for 2019.
Well, I'm glad you jumped in there and got me before I shut the door, Mickey, because I did have uranium in front of me because I did want to mention that a good year. And you've been bullish on uranium for quite some time, so that is indeed a good way to wrap it up with some good news. Thanks a lot, Mickey.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned in being a contrarian, you have to have patience, and I've been patient with uranium, and I hope its day has come. Thanks a lot, Rob, for the end of our 10th season.
Yeah.
Mercenary Musings Radio. I think it's the 10th season. It has been a long time.
This has been our longest show, too.
I think so, but it was a lot.
We got a lot to cover.
Happy holidays to you and yours.
Thank you,
Rob.
Too, Mickey. We'll reconnect in 2019, and all the best for the new year, sir.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.